Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
If being human isn't what gives me the duty to treat an animal properly, tell me what does.
We have this idea of what it's like to live out the American dream, and maybe that's not God's dream for humanity.
When I was out in L.A. and I was like kind of struggling for a bit, I went to church for a while, but there's a band there now, and you have to hold hands with people through the whole mass now. This is too much for me. I want the old way.
It's poison because it takes off the issue of whether Christianity is true or not. If it isn't true, I don't care if it works. Lots of stuff works.
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues Etc.
You may have seen the story about the Food and Drug Administration that is tasked by, as a regulatory agency, with making sure that drugs that make it onto the market, whether they be prescription drugs or whether they are over-the-counter drugs, so to speak, whether they are safe for those who will use them. And the FDA has decided to increase access to a highly controversial medication, one that is aimed specifically, its only purpose in its manufacture and in its use is to cause an abortion, the so-called morning after pill. They've decided to increase access to it over-the-counter and as far as I can tell, maybe I'm wrong about this, no age restrictions whatsoever. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live this Monday afternoon. It's the 3rd of March. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Wendy Wright will join us to talk about this FDA decision to increase access to generic morning after pills. After that, Pastor Tom Baker will be with us, as he is every week, teaching a Sunday school lesson. Today we're talking about the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Join us with questions or comments for this hour of Issues Etc. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Wendy Wright is a regular guest. She's Vice President for Government Relations and Communications for CFAM, Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute. Wendy, welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
Is there anything in principle with this latest kind of decision, it's the extension of a decision, I suppose, on the part of the Food and Drug Administration, anything in principle stopping, say, a 13 or 14-year-old girl from walking into a drugstore and purchasing this abortifacient?
None. And there's nothing to stop an 11-year-old, a 12-year-old from buying this drug. And the real question should be asked at this point, why would a 13-year-old or an 11-year-old need a drug like this? It would only be if they are being sexually abused. So this decision by the FDA to make a generic version of the morning after pill available over the counter to any age is really a decision to allow for young girls who are being sexually abused for the abuser to be able to keep that hidden away from authorities that could intervene and help to rescue her.
What is Plan B one step and its generic equivalents, the drug in question here with this FDA decision? Describe it to us.
It is a high dose of the birth control pill. Now, a birth control pill requires a prescription for good reason. It can cause a blood clot, heart attack, stroke. We're hearing more and more about that. I'm sure that your listeners hear the ads from lawyers saying if you've been hurt by this by the birth control patch or the ring or any other form, they could be part of a malpractice suit. Well, the morning after pill is a high dose of that very same drug. The low dose requires a prescription, medical oversight, because there can be consequences. Now the high dose is available to anyone at any age over the counter.
Give us a little bit of a history, if you could, because this has been a decision. This isn't really the decision. It's simply a decision on the part of the Food and Drug Administration to extend or to continue going the same direction it has been for some time on this particular pill. What's been going on?
Yeah, it's been a very complicated route going back well over 10 years when the FDA was first pressured by feminist groups, by abortion groups, to make the morning after pill available over the counter with no age restriction whatsoever. And the FDA declined to do that for many years. They did at one point decide to allow for those over 18 to be able to buy the drug without a prescription. Those under 18 would need a prescription. And at that point, I was pointing out that a 40-year-old man who's abusing a 13-year-old girl could go into a drugstore, buy the drug, and right there in the store, turn around and give it to the girl for her to take. That buying it, whoever buys it, is not necessarily the person who's taking the drug. But rather than take warnings like this to heart, the FDA has continued down the path of making it more and more available. There actually was a point when Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, to everyone's great surprise, actually stood up and said, no, we're not going to make it available to girls under 17, I think it was at the time she made the decision, without a prescription. And, oh, abortion groups were absolutely furious that Kathleen Sebelius had stood up. But listen to what it was that she said, and this is very reasonable. She said it's commonly understood that there are significant behavioral and cognitive differences between older and adolescent girls of reproductive age, which are relevant. What she's pointing out is that minor girls are not mature enough to be making decisions on something like this. And if a girl, a minor, is in need of a morning after pill, that means she's being sexually abused, and there needs to be somebody to intervene.
Why do pro-abortion groups, why have they, for the last 10-plus years, pushed so hard to lower every restriction, including age, in access to the morning after pill and its equivalent?
Well, I think there's a couple of things to look at from their own words. One was the original ads for Plan B, which is the first morning after pill on the market. The ads, one of them had a picture of 13, they look like college-age men, and the script on it said, so many men, so many reasons to have backup contraception. So the advertisement for the drug was encouraging promiscuity. I think another reason that was given by the advocates for the morning after pill is that if the drug were easily accessible, easy to get, then there would be fewer pregnancies, fewer abortions. Well, it turns out that the very people who are making that argument, Dr. James Trussell, Dr. Elizabeth Raymond, they've been arguing this since the 1990s. They have since come out several times in various studies and have said that making the drug easy to access has not reduced unintended pregnancies, didn't reduce abortions, and what's also quite clear, it does not reduce the cases of sexually transmitted diseases. In fact, the evidence suggests that where the drug is easy to access, the number of cases of sexually transmitted diseases goes up.
Has this drug, usually with the FDA, they require testing of any kind of new medication. There was a time when this was new. Has there been any testing that you know of this particular drug or its equivalents on underaged girls, especially given the fact that the age restrictions now have disappeared?
Yeah, there are two things that we would be concerned about. One would be the health effects. What kind of effect is there on a girl who takes it not just once, but if this is easily available, it's going to be taken multiple times. In fact, that, again, has been the history, that when the drug is easy to access, women and particularly girls who don't want adults knowing that they're engaging in certain behavior, they're going to be more likely to rely upon it as a regular form of birth control. And there have not been adequate studies to find out what happens, particularly to a teenager whose body is still developing and their hormones are out of whack as it is. What happens when they're taking high doses of hormones multiple times? What happens 10 years later when she wants to get pregnant and is having difficulty? We don't know. There have not been adequate studies. But the other kind of study that's relevant is, can they fully understand the instructions, how to take the drug, when it's appropriate, when it's not appropriate? Now, the manufacturers of the drug, they did do some studies with teenagers, but not with girls as young as, say, 11 years old, who actually some of them are of reproductive capabilities, as to whether they understand how to use the drug and when not to use the drug. And let's remember that this drug would only be used or necessary, I guess you could say, during a time period when a woman can become pregnant. That's just a couple of days out of the month. Well, most women don't know when that is, and they're not going to even be thinking about that, which means they're going to be taking this high dose of hormones at times throughout the month when they really don't need to, when there's really no chance that they can get pregnant. And so women are going to be pumping themselves, and girls, pumping themselves with these high dose of hormones, and we just don't know what kind of effect there's going to be on them.
How do you respond? Because the FDA actually thinks it's required a compromise, saying that the generic versions of this product still have to indicate on their label someplace that the contents of the package are intended, quote, for women 17 years of age or older. Again, no age restrictions, but how do you respond to someone who says, look, at least the FDA is saying this is not recommended for girls under 17.
Yeah, I would take them right back to what Kathleen Sebelius just said, that the cognitive understanding of minors is not sufficient. Those who are under 17 are, first of all, not likely to even read the instructions on a package. And if they are about to buy it, they're not going to be cautioned by these instructions. You have to step back and say, who's watching out for these girls? Who's watching out for these minors? Now, the first line of defense would be parents, but what the FDA has done is taken parents out of the equation by allowing for minor girls, or again, adult men who are sexually abusing minor girls, allowing them to be able to buy the drug with no barrier, no one standing in between, no one to be able to ask a question and say, well, wait a minute, why is a 13-year-old in need of this drug? And let's say maybe there was a mistake. Let's say she wasn't being sexually abused by an older man. If she's still engaging in sexual activity, say with someone even her own age, that is still damaging a behavior. And somebody, an adult, needs to step in and say, no, this is not good for you. You should not be engaging in this behavior. But what the FDA has done is allowed these girls to be vulnerable and to be abused, and to say that even parents don't have an opportunity to step in and know what's going on with their minor daughters.
This issue has been raised when it comes to kind of the handing out of medicinal abortions and even surgical abortions by organizations like Planned Parenthood, where they're dealing with someone that it's a reporting issue. They can strongly suspect that they're dealing with an issue of statutory rape or of sexual abuse. And generally, silence is the response. Does this put pharmacists in the same boat now?
Well, now pharmacists are actually even out of the equation, because since it'll be on over-the-counter, it'll just be the cashier who's dealing with it. And cashiers are just not going to have any kind of authority to be able to ask a question like that. So to raise an alarm, to be able to get the name of the girl, to be able to, or in some way instruct the girl that she ought to be going to law enforcement. At least with a pharmacist, the pharmacist could raise some alarm, would have an opportunity to talk with the girl, perhaps not have an opportunity to contact law enforcement if there appears to be abuse involved. But now there's nobody but the cashier. And I find this incredibly irresponsible on Planned Parenthood's part. Now, it's quite interesting that Planned Parenthood is even taking themselves out of the equation by making it available in drugstores. That means the girls won't be going to Planned Parenthood. But I think Planned Parenthood is quite shrewd. They know that if young girls are encouraged to be engaging in sexual activity, then they're more likely to be victims of sexually transmitted diseases. They are more likely to end up pregnant, especially since this drug is highly ineffective. And so one way or another, many times these girls are going to end up in Planned Parenthood's waiting room.
I would like your response finally here, Wendy, to something that Jessica Ahrens, who's president and CEO of Reproductive Health Technologies Project, had to say in response to the FDA's most recent decision. She said, "This is a significant leap forward in obtaining full over-the-counter status for emergency contraception, and we commend the FDA for this decision. Everyone deserves a second chance to get it right, including the FDA." What's your response with about a minute or so?
Yeah, it really shows that she has absolutely no concern for the well-being of these girls, especially those who are being sexually abused. And that has been the history of Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood routinely does not alert authorities when there are suspected cases of statutory rape sitting right in front of them. They've even been caught on tape assisting what appeared to be sexual traffickers. So I think we can, this just adds to our evidence that Planned Parenthood has no concern for our daughters, and that's why parents need to be standing up against and raising their voices and seeing Planned Parenthood as the enemy of their daughters, not those trying to help their daughters.
Wendy Wright is Vice President for Government Relations and Communications for CFAM, Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute. You'll find a link to CFAM at our website. Click Listen on Demand. Wendy, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker. He joins us every week to teach a Sunday school lesson. Today's lesson on this Monday afternoon, February the 3rd, the temptation of Jesus in preparation for the season of Lent, will be in Matthew chapter 4, the first 11 verses. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, right here on Issues, Etc., right after this. What is God's purpose for marriage? How should we respond when traditional marriage is openly mocked as irrelevant? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is titled Your Marriage by God's Design. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guests Scott and Julie Stiegemeyer. You can find out more about Your Marriage by God's Design at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your Marriage by God's Design, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Folks attending last year's Making the Case conference absolutely loved the barbecue from Randy's House of Barbecue in Troy and Highland, Illinois. The pork, chicken, ribs, and beef are prepared just like the old days in a pit cooked over hickory, apple, and wild cherry wood. Randy's House of Barbecue, Route 40 and Troy O'Fallon Road in Troy, and at 2649 Northtown Way in Highland. Randy's House of Barbecue, randysbbq.com.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Issuesetc.org.